Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with a Capital City Recap on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
We are back. I'm Michael Cohen, producer James Platy on the board. It is 6:17 on a Thursday night in Lansing. So in an election year that's likely to focus on the Affordable Care Act and deficit spending, how will incumbent Democrats deal with the GOP attacks on these issues? U.S. Senator Debbie Stabenow is among those that will need to defend Obamacare and many other things that have occurred during her time in office. She joins me now to talk about it all. Senator Stabenow, thank you very much for coming on the program this evening.
Well, hi, good evening. It's great to be with you. And you know what? Before we get into issues, I just got to say, both my kids graduated from Sexton High School, and I just want to congratulate them on their back-to-back Class B state championship. So, I've got a little red and white pride there for Sexton.
Right. And Sexton's also going to remain open, which I guess is good news, too.
Yes, very good news, very good news.
So let's talk about what we've all been looking at this entire week, the Affordable Care Act. All the benefits have been outlined, but this individual mandate is definitely hitting a nerve, and the idea of that Americans are being forced into this program is far from a popular one. Are you not concerned that Republicans can very effectively use this one issue against you and other Democrats this election year?
Well, first of all, in total, let me say that I think it's so important that the court not make a decision that would take away basic health coverage that families now have because of the Affordable Care Act. Women who've not been able to get maternity care or mammograms, other basic health care are now going to be able to do that. Seniors on average have got about $500 more in their pocket this last year to help pay for prescription drugs. Children who are not being denied care anymore because they're sick. We have pre-existing conditions.
Don't you agree that Americans, though, with all that aside, that when it comes to this individual mandate, essentially forcing them into the program, into health care, is something that's just distasteful to many?
Well, I appreciate this issue very much, and I understand where folks are coming from. Most of us, first of all, and most folks have insurance, and those that do not, of course, use the emergency room, and the costs then go back onto folks with insurance, which raises rates for everybody else. So the question is, how do we help get everyone insurance and have everybody contributing to that? One of the important things in the new law that hasn't been talked about a lot is that if, in fact, you can't find an affordable policy, you don't have to get one. And I think that's so important. No one should be forced to pay whatever the insurance companies say. And under the law, if you can't find something that is less than 8% of your income and cost to you, you don't have to buy it. So very, very important that that happen.
Right.
But let me also say the broader issues, how do we make sure we can bring down costs for small business, who are the majority of employers struggling with this? You know, big businesses right now get big group discounts and are in a different spot than small businesses. And so this is about how do we have everybody have the opportunity to have the health care they need, but bring costs down.
Wouldn't you prefer to have the individual mandate struck down as unconstitutional so you would not have to deal with this, especially this year as you're running for re-election?
Well, for me, it's much more than about re-election, Michael. This is, I've been involved with health care issues all of my life. In fact, in Ingham County, I got into office originally by fighting to keep the Ingham County Medical Care Facility open, which we did. We kept it open and kept care going for seniors. So I care very much about this, and I want to make sure that women have the ability to get preventative care and aren't paying twice as much as men for the same coverage or less. I want to make sure small businesses have better competition, which is what this is about. Seniors pay less for prescription drugs.
You know,
I really want to see. I want to see it solved. That's what I want to see.
I have to ask you though. Give me the main reason from your perspective. You know a lot about this. You've been in office for a long time. Why are we paying so much for the simplest medical procedures? Why is going to see a doctor costing us $200? What is the underlying reason for that? Is it our country's private insurance companies?
Well, I would say this. I mean, we are the only country that uses a for-profit system, and I would say that when we look at how we're trying to change the system, we want to, rather than having folks that don't have an emergency going into the emergency room and having us pay for that in the most expensive way, which is emergency room care, it's much better if folks can have a doctor, can afford to see the doctor, take children to the doctor, get a cancer screening rather than waiting till something happens.
But why does it cost us $200 to see a doctor, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Yeah, I'm not sure about, you know, why specifically it costs $200 to see a doctor. I will say this, that having millions of people not having insurance, using emergency rooms, which are the most expensive thing, and then what happens is the rates for everything. Everybody else with insurance sees their rates go up. That's what's been happening for years, to pay for people who don't have insurance.
Indeed.
The other thing I would add is that we pay for procedures. And so, you know, the more tests, the more somebody gets paid. And rather than paying for preventative care or paying on the front end for folks to stay healthy. So we've got a system that's really out of whack,
and it needs
a number of changes.
In fact, Senator, I want to shift the topic slightly. I'm talking to U.S. Senator Debbie Stabenow. I want to talk about gas. It's now over $4 a gallon. You're pointing the finger at big oil. You want to repeal tax breaks for the country's five biggest oil companies. It has been tried several times before in the Senate and failed. Now, Republicans are saying that oil and gas companies are paying $30 billion every year in royalties, taxes, and fees to the federal government. And a move like this could actually push the price of gas higher. Is that not a real short-term potential?
Not at all. You know, one of the things I find amazing, the top five oil companies in the world, or in the country right now, are the most profitable companies in the world, who are on average making $260,000 a minute. Most people in Michigan don't make that in a year. They, right now, have had for almost 100 years tax subsidies to help them in their business. In the beginning, probably made a lot of sense. I would have voted for it. Today, it's not a good use of taxpayer money. And the problem we've got is that they can raise or lower prices every day, multiple times a day, which they do. You know, it's Friday. Oh, the price is going to go up. What we need, Michael, is competition at the pump. We need, and that's what we want to do. We want to take the subsidies given to oil companies for almost 100 years, move them over to allow other businesses to keep 19 different tax cuts going for batteries and biofuels and wind and solar and all the things that will give these guys some competition and give us a choice at the pump. That's how you bring down prices.
Sure.
And even one of the, I would say this, the head of ExxonMobil, I asked him last year, are you saying if the subsidies are no longer given to you, you're going to raise prices? And he said no.
I want to ask you about the lobbying, because
sure. The
lobbying's got to be insane here. I'm guessing the oil companies are sitting down with you. They want to find out about your plan. They want to talk to you about the impact. How do you deal with these high-level lobbyists? Have they sat down and talked to you from the oil company?
Well, I've certainly talked to folks.
Go ahead.
You know what? In my judgment, I mean, my job is to represent the families of Michigan, you know, my family and every other family in Michigan. And the truth of the matter is, these are private businesses that have no competition and can raise and lower prices at will. And that's what they do. What we've got to do and what I'm involved in is getting other choices for us. Get the biofuels at the pump. You know, even with all the talk about ethanol, we're told that gas prices would actually be up to a dollar higher right now if there wasn't just a little bit of pressure from E85. So we've got to do more. We're making great electric vehicles in Michigan.
So
when you meet with these
lobbyists, do you tell them straight up that you know, your companies are taking advantage of our country? And how do they respond to that?
Well, what I just simply say is, you know what? We have to make tough choices, like every family. And we don't have enough dollars. We've got a deficit. We need jobs. We need to be smart about the way we make decisions. And this is not about being for or against oil companies. They don't need tens of billions of dollars in taxpayer subsidies when they are making over $260,000 a minute in profit. What we need is to create some competition. So when you go to the pump, if the price is too high, you can say, you know what, I don't think I'm going to buy this today.
Although,
don't have that choice.
Although the oil industry is a very difficult one to get into, and obviously takes a lot of investment to get involved. We just have a few minutes left. I need to ask you about Republican Senate candidate Pete Hoekstra. You know, he's calling you Debbie Spend It now. What do you think of his play on words?
Well, I think, unfortunately, the ad for the Super Bowl was very divisive, and it was very, very unfortunate that, you know, there was a lot of concern about that. But I would say this. There was another great ad at the Super Bowl, Michael, and it said, you know, we're at halftime. And I think that's true. And Michigan's battered and bruised in the first half, but we're roaring back. And so I'm with Clint Eastwood on this one. I think Michigan in our country are getting ready for a good second half if we can stay focused and make smart decisions that make sure middle-class families finally, you know, everybody needs a shot in this country. Middle-class families have been hit over and over again. Oh. It's time for them to have a fair shot.
But, you know,
that's what I'm working for.
When Pete Hoekstra calls you, Debbie, spend it now, he's talking about the fact that, you know, Democrats have not stopped spending. You have voted to raise the debt ceiling. Are you going to point the finger back at him and point to his own votes to raise the debt ceiling and his support of the $700 billion Wall Street bailout?
Well, we did disagree. I didn't vote for that Wall Street bailout because all they did was give themselves bonuses and not turn around and loan to small business. But for me, you know, right now, I mean, we're talking about the end of March at a time when, as a U.S. senator, my focus is on jobs. I chair the Agriculture Committee, where one out of four jobs is in Michigan. We're in the process of writing a new farm bill, and I'm going to make sure it's the very best possible for Michigan. And on the manufacturing side, I'm going to continue to focus on the future. You know, we want those jobs being announced in Lansing and across the state and new advanced batteries and so on. And from my perspective, we don't have time to wait. Our families have been hit way too hard. The middle class has taken way too many hits.
Certainly.
And I'm going to keep pushing back, whether it's oil companies or anybody else.
Well, And you'll likely have to be pushing back against Pete Hoekstra here very soon, although I know you haven't wanted to directly speak on that yet. But U.S. Senator Debbie Stabenow, I hope we can have you on the program again soon.
Sure, absolutely.
Hey, thanks for coming on, and
take care.
Talk to you soon.